Thank you, Betty. Thank you, kids, for blessing us. If you have your scriptures with you this morning, please turn to the Gospel of John. We are in chapter 18 this morning. Your bulletin says we'll start at verse 15. We'll actually start at verse 12, 12 to 27. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 904 so that you can follow along. Our theme this Advent, this Christmas season, that he came to his own and his own did not receive him. As we think about the Christ child, he's come into the world that didn't recognize him and come into the world that really didn't want him. And he'll, after his 30-some years, a world that will want to crucify him. And that's the world he loved. That's the world he came to. And it should help us to grow in our awe and our wonder of the amazing grace and compassion of our God through Christ. Last week we looked at the betrayal of Judas to Jesus, and to realize that Jesus didn't quit. You know, when everybody's turning their backs on him and fleeing him, and soldiers are coming to arrest him, he could have quit and said, "Why would I do such a thing?" But he went all in. And there was never a doubt in his mind. He was going to go to the cross to secure your redemption, my redemption, that we could walk with God forever and be whole and made new. So we're going to continue to walk through this. This is his idea of his passive obedience, where he's not doing a lot of interact. There's not things that Jesus is doing except just humbling himself and receiving the curse upon himself for our sins, as people will arrest him, mock him, unjustly try him, say all kinds of false things about him, and then nail him to a cross as God pours out the wrath upon him. And so as we think about Christmas, the beauty of it and everything, I pray the lights of Christmas will go brighter as you think of the God who saw our sin and didn't quit, and he would come to redeem us. So we'll continue walking through this this Christmas season, and we're verses 12 to 27. I'll pray, and then we'll begin. Father, it's good to pause in the midst of such busy lives, to hear your word, to consider Christ, and to say thanks. That it would hopefully, that your spirit would work in our hearts and minds and convict us where we need convicted, encourage where we need encouraged, teach. Lord, I pray you give us all ears to hear and minds to think and to know what the Good Shepherd is saying to his people this morning. So, Lord, as we go through us, help us, we pray, to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll begin at verse 12 this morning. So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter stood outside the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You're also not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. They were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. And Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me and what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I had said something wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." And one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in a garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. This ends the reading of God's word this morning. I don't know if you have ever been part of an interrogation or not, but it can be a traumatic thing. A questioning into the truth of an incident or a situation. This morning before us, there's two interrogations going on in this passage that are woven together for us to see. There's a questioning and examining of belief, of the truth claims of who Jesus is. On a larger scale, in terms of the ramifications, there's the interrogation of Jesus in front of the temple police of the time, the chief priests and the Pharisees. And on a smaller scale, there's the interrogation of Peter from a servant girl and others that are just warming themselves outside by a fire. In an interrogation, you have some options as they question you and as you give answers. As you answer, you can choose to lie, you can choose to manipulate the answers. You can try to determine what you ought to say to the interrogator so that they don't arrest you or put you in trouble. Kind of like what you say to your kids or a coworker who is under you and you recognize they did something wrong and you say, "What did you do?" And they kind of pause for a little bit and you can tell they're thinking, "What should I best say so I don't get in so much trouble?" Many of us do that, and when we do, it shows the depths of our sin in regard to lying. Another option in an interrogation is you can just tell the truth. You can tell the truth knowing that God is sovereign over kings and judges, even corrupt ones like Jesus is facing this morning, and let God's providence unfold where it may. This morning and in the following weeks, Jesus will be accused of being a false prophet, one who is dangerous to the Jewish community, one who is dangerous to the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, Judas, the Pontius Pilate, will find Jesus innocent, but because of fear of who Jesus is, they will kill him. Last week, Jesus was betrayed by Judas. Today, he's being denied by Peter. And in a matter of hours, most of the city will be screaming for his death. And Jesus walks submissively into this storm. Because it's the plan to secure our redemption. He is becoming the Lamb of God that's being placed on the altar, so to speak, as he goes through this. He was in the world. The world was made through him, and the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who hear, who all who see that he is the Messiah, who all believe and receive him, he gives the right to become children of God. That's the beautiful story of Christmas. And as we approach Christmas, you may be interrogated. And I hope that you are. What I mean is I hope that people will know in some fashion that you are a follower of Christ. And they will ask you, "What is Christmas all about anyways?" And as your coworkers and your friends talk to you about Christmas, you'll be sure to tell them about the decorations and the trees that you put up, the lights on the house, and all the shopping that you got to do, and the craziness of it all. But I hope you will mention the Christ child. Mention the Christ child who saved you from your sins. Mention the Christ child is the greatest treasure in all the world. And when the opportunity comes, don't let fear creep in. Don't worry about what people will think or say. Share the Christ child. I know it's hard, it's a struggle, but when we don't take the opportunity before us, it's almost like we're like Peter and we deny him. If you struggle to confess Christ to those around you this morning, confess it to Jesus. He's full aware of it and understands, and he wants to strengthen you, empower you to be light. Peter here, who denied Jesus 3 times, becomes a bold lion after the resurrection. He goes to Jesus, he confesses that to Jesus, and Jesus transforms Peter and uses him in his testimony. He will use you as well. So as you go through the Christmas season this morning, part of your prayer request should be, Lord, strengthen me. Give me courage to share the glorious truths of the Christ child, the one who saves us from our sins, the one who gives us peace. The first point I want us to consider this morning is Jesus is the God who came to save his people, even though they didn't recognize him or want him. It's part of his amazing grace. Look at verse 12 again. It says, so the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Jesus now submissively submits himself to this band of soldiers. Again, it's about 200 to 1,000 men. And from one of the other Gospels, we learn that Jesus, if he wanted to, when these men came and arrested him, he could have called 12,000 angels to struck these men down for touching him. But he said, no, this is my hour. This is why I have come. I have come to lay down my life for you and for me. And rather than calling the angels to come and strike these men, the angels watch in awe and wonder at what Jesus is about to do. So after they bound Jesus and they take him down the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley back into the city, Jerusalem, to Annas' house, they took him to Annas' house because the Jewish people recognized Annas as the high priest. For according to the Jewish ways, the high priest, once you were a high priest, you were always the high priest. But since Rome was in charge, they disposed Annas and gave the authority to Caiaphas. So their first stop is to go to Annas' house, and then they will go to Caiaphas' house to appease Rome and their ways and their authority. This isn't the first time that soldiers looked for Jesus in order to arrest him and in order to get rid of him. Think of his birth story. Not long after he was born, the wise men came seeking Jesus. They saw the star in the sky, and they went and they saw King Herod and said, Herod, where is this one born king of the Jews that we may worship him? And Herod is upset. Why are these men from the east coming to worship a Hebrew boy? And so they inquire, they get the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they inquire, where is this child born and when did the star show up? And they said, the child should be born in Bethlehem. And Herod said, go, wise men, you go find him. Go find him and then let me know where he is because I want to worship him. I want to worship him too. So the wise men go and they search and they follow the star and they find Jesus. And they worship him. And God in his grace and his mercy, knowing it's not time yet, warns the magi, the wise men, is don't go back to Herod. He wants to kill the Christ child. And so they don't go back. And then Joseph is warned in a dream from an angel, leave, go down to Egypt. Herod wants to take out Jesus. And so Herod, when he realizes that he's been deceived, that the wise men didn't come back, he sends out his guard, his soldiers, and he has all the children who are 2 years old, all the male children who are 2 years old and younger killed because he wanted Jesus dead. Even at his birth, rulers and authorities were worried about this one who would expose their wickedness and who would call them to bow their knees to him, for he is the true king. And now, after 30-some years, he submits to these wicked, wicked men. Jesus is the God who came to save his people, even though they didn't recognize him or want him. And so Jesus is there as John switches. He switches the focus. You see this interweaving of interrogation. So he's at Annas' house. And now John says, let's focus on Peter a little bit. So you look at verse 15. We'll look at the stage that Peter's on in this interrogation. In verse 15, it says, Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, you also are not one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing warming themselves. Peter was also with them, standing and warming himself. John's focus now is on Peter. And we see in these few verses that Peter goes from having a heart of a lion to a heart of a sheep. It was just moments ago that Peter was ready to take on this band of 200 to 1,000 men of soldiers. Remember, he's the one that took out his sword, and when he went to thrust somebody with his dagger, he cut off Malchus's ear. And Jesus says, put your sword away, Peter. I must drink the cup that the Father has given me to drink. And Peter goes from the feelings of anxiety and emotions and ready to take on people to Jesus correcting him to being humbled and scared, and he flees with all the other disciples, according to the other gospel writers. And now as they take Jesus away, him and another disciple follow the crowd. But can you imagine the heart rate and anxiety of Peter and the rest of the disciples at this time? They'd be saying, what's going on? What's going on? Why did Judas bring that group of people here to arrest Jesus? Peter could be wrestling, why couldn't I stay awake and watch and pray with him? We could have ran, we could have hid. Why is Jesus letting these men take him like this? I wonder what his thoughts were. But Peter and another disciple follow the group from a distance. We're not sure who this other disciple is. He's not named. Many think it's John himself who wrote this gospel. Others think it's a disciple who was living in Jerusalem. The struggle is that there is some intimate connection between the disciple and the high priest. So much so that this disciple is able to go right in to where the high priest is and where Jesus is. And so they're not sure who it is. A lot of people think it's John. Other people think it's somebody that's living in Jerusalem. The reasons why some people think it's John is because John's father was a wealthy fisherman. And as a wealthy fisherman, he had hired people. And it would be very likely that he had relatives that had a connection in Jerusalem to the high priest. So it's not a wild idea that it couldn't be John. So, but we're not sure who it is. But regardless who it is, he goes in with Jesus and he tells a servant girl to let Peter into the courtyard so that he could warm himself. And we see Peter goes from having a heart of a lion to a heart of a sheep. The servant girl lets him in and says, you're not one of his disciples, are you? Peter could have said, yeah, I am. He's like, no, I am not. He's scared. Being so close to the temple police of the time and seeing Jesus led away as a prisoner, he is scared. He doesn't want brought into that interrogation. And we would be scared too. We often get scared of much less circumstances when it comes to revealing our faith and following Jesus, right? We're good expressing our faith here and worshiping and praying and talking about Jesus here, but out in the world, it's a little scary. It even makes us nervous to pray at a restaurant, right? Someone will see me. Peter goes from having a heart of a lion to a heart of a sheep. Yet Jesus loves him. Let's pray this Christmas we do a better job of sharing our faith. Again, ask the Lord to empower you. Make it part of your prayer this Christmas. Open a door to share my faith. Give me the words to say to share my faith. And just do it in grace and love. It doesn't have to be crazy and radical. Just be yourself and talk about this Christ child. And as that interrogation is going on with Peter, John now switches back to Jesus and Annas in verse 19. Look at verse 19. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me and what I said to them. They know what I said. When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, Is that how you answer the high priest? Jesus answered him, If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas' house, the high priest. We see Jesus is fearless through an incredible injustice to secure our redemption. He's fierce. Annas begins to question Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus doesn't address the issue of his disciples. He keeps them out of discussion, further protecting the disciples. But he does answer about his teaching. He says, I've taught publicly. I've taught in synagogues. I've taught in the temple. I've done this for 3 years. My teaching is open. It's right there in the public. Ask them. They know what I have said. And what Jesus is doing is he's reminding this oh-so-great high priest Annas of his unjust actions. You see, in a court hearing like this, the high priest shouldn't be asking Jesus these questions. He's supposed to be asking witnesses. Witnesses to the problem. Witnesses of the defense. You don't ask the individual himself. That was their rule. That was their law. But the high priest of the nation is doing an unjust court hearing. And Jesus is calling him out. There's no one there to accuse him except for the corrupt religious leaders standing before him. Religious leaders were fearful of losing their power, losing their temple at the city of the Romans. They thought if they would let Jesus go on, he would incite riots and Rome would come and crush them. And one of the officers standing there who heard Jesus respond in such a way was so incensed that he struck Jesus with his hand. I can't imagine. You know, what would you do? Knowing that you were right and you're standing there and a man struck you. Here's Jesus, the God-man, standing there and he lets this sinful man strike him. He's just surrendering himself, becoming that lamb that's going to be crucified for us. One thing we learned through all this, Jesus understands unjust courts. He understands unjust, brutal beatings at the hands of authorities. In Luke 22, verses 63, 65, during the same time, it's recorded that the men that were holding Jesus in custody, they would mock him, they would beat him, they would blindfold him and strike him and say, Prophesy, Jesus, who hit you? And Jesus just takes there and absorbs it all. Jesus is absorbing all of this while Peter is just outside warming himself and fearful of a servant girl. Jesus is fearless. He endures all kinds of social injustice from those who are to be welcoming to him. He's the Messiah. They are to welcome him, and they received him not. Jesus understands there are broken and corrupt systems, but he stayed focused on God's plan of laying down his life as a sacrifice for you and me. Jesus warned these religious leaders not so long ago that for rejecting him, judgment would come upon their city. That temple that they wanted to protect, that city they wanted to protect, well, for the very reason that they were hoping to avoid it, because they rejected Christ, God used the Romans in AD 70 and took out that temple and took out that nation. Jesus was fearless for an incredible injustice to secure our redemption. It's like a quick TV show now. John switches back to Peter. Now he switches back to Peter's interrogation. In verse 25 it says, Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, You also are not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the priests, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, Did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter again denied it. And at once the rooster crowed. And in this section, it's just a good reminder that faithful Jesus came for unfaithful people like you and me. Faithful Jesus came for unfaithful people like you and me. Peter denies him two more times. He's so weak, so unfaithful. But this is the world he came to save. These are the people whom he set his love upon, the people who would be unfaithful time and time again. And he's calling to you and me, saying, wake up. Wake up to the reality of our sins. Wake up to the reality of our brokenness and see the forgiveness and life that Christ offers. Listen to the other details about this incident from the other Gospels, about Peter's denial. This happened, to give you a clue, about 3 in the morning, between 3 and 5 in the morning. This is when all this is happening. But listen to these other details. In Matthew 26, 71 to 74, Peter responds this way. It says, when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him and said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus. Again, he denied it with an oath. It's like he's saying, I swear to you, I do not know this man. I do not know Jesus. After a little while, a bystander came up and said to Peter, certainly you too are one of them. Your accent betrays you. And he began to invoke a curse on him and to swear, I do not know this man. And then the rooster crowed. And then in Luke 22, 58 to 62, I'll just read part of it to you. The last time Peter denies him, it says in verse 60, Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So they're in the vicinity of one another. And in the midst of all of this, and Peter denying Christ, sometimes we think we're doing things in secret, right? God don't see. God sees. And at that very moment, when Peter denied him the third time, their eyes lock across the way, across the courtyard. And Peter just weeps. We're so unfaithful. But yet he loves us. He was going to the cross for Peter. He's going to the cross for you. This morning, Jesus is looking at you and asking, what do you think about me? Am I someone to be mocked? Am I someone to be blasphemed? Am I someone to be ignored? Or in your heart, am I someone to be honored, to be savored, to be worshipped as King and Savior? Is the Spirit talking to you this morning? As we go through the narratives this Christmas, the horrors of our sinfulness will get uglier and uglier, and the perfections and the grace of Christ will shine brighter and brighter. This is the story of Christmas. I hope you're interrogated this year. I hope people say, are you one of his followers? I hear you go to that church in Pitcairn. What's the name of that church? Will you invite them to worship? Will you invite them to Christmas Eve to learn about the Christ child? Will you share about this God who comes to people that rejected him and didn't want him and didn't want him around? He still came because he knew we needed salvation. Will you tell them? Sometimes you'll do well. You'll have the heart of the lion, but sometimes you'll have the heart of the sheep. Confess it. Start over like Peter. Tell them about this Jesus who was fearless in the midst of great injustice, was willing to do whatever it takes to go to the cross. This Jesus is for unfaithful people who will wake up, be honest about it, to confess it, and ask Jesus to help them to turn from it, to put it to death. As you go through the Christmas season, as you pray, make this part of your prayer request, ask the Lord to strengthen you and give you courage to share the glorious truths of this Christ child. He's the one who brings peace. He's the one who can forgive us of our sins. Let's pray. Spirit of God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. Do your work of convicting. Restore to us the joy of salvation. Help us to realize more and more how much Christ has done. May we be more cheerful this Christmas. That this God would set his love upon unfaithful people and transform us. Do your work, Spirit, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.